The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is hour one of the Eric Metaxas show. Albin, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Do you understand that in a couple of minutes, I'm talking to the man that I actually hope is going to be the next mayor of this city?
Really? Is Giuliani running again?
It's Curtis Sliwa.
He's a guardian angel.
Curtis Sliwa is amazing. And he is, I don't think I can think of anybody who's more New York than Curtis Sliwa. You'll see in a couple of minutes. We've had him on this program before. He's a phenomenon. He's an interesting character. I can't wait to have him on. In hour two, we have Bob Woodson. Pardon?
Just generally, he started the Guardian Angels. That's how people will remember him across the country and across the world, too, because he started that whole...
Well, people know what that is. I mean, in the 70s, things were so bad in New York. Before Giuliani came in, it was gritty New York, graffiti, crime. And Curtis Sliwa started this thing called the Guardian Angels, which is young people trained in martial arts or whatever who would ride the subways just in case there was trouble because we didn't have enough cops. Because back in those days, they had already pre-defunded the cops by having no money. So it really was a beautiful thing to see a citizen like Curtis Sliwa would do this. And it's gone on over the years. It's in countries all around the world now, these Guardian Angels. And it's a long story, but we'll talk to him in a couple of minutes. In hour two, we have Bob Woodson, who is a civil rights hero. I cannot wait for you all to hear him.
Can I just mention one last thing? Mayor de Blasio wants to get us back to classic New York, where we get back to the graffiti, we get back to the trouble on the subway, we get back to
right, because he thinks that kind of gritty mugging stuff is just who we are. And it's a nice thing as long as it doesn't happen to you.
So I'd like to mention one thing, too. I want to pitch a new movie remake to Curtis. Maybe we could do It's a Wonderful Life where he's the guardian angel instead of Clarence. And I think, you'd set a different tone there.
Very different indeed. Okay, folks. Potter. So we have two amazing guests today. Tomorrow, we have Kirk Cameron and Sam Sorbo. Oh, my gosh. Sam Sorbo, by the way, what a phenomenon she is. Married, of course, to Kevin Sorbo, who's himself a phenomenon. It's kind of funny when you get to know somebody like that. You think, well, he's just this kind of good looking, hunky guy. He's no Fabio, ladies and gentlemen. The dude is brilliant. And his wife, Sam Sorbo, is herself brilliant. They're just great. Anyway, that's tomorrow. We have to talk. We got some good news here. We're doing a fundraiser for Food for the Poor. And we have started to raise some money, which is technically the goal of having a fundraiser. Food for the Poor feeds people really struggling around the world. Right now, in Honduras, they had a couple of horrible they had a tropical storm, which was devastating, followed by a hurricane, which is much more devastating. It's a seriously impoverished country. Food for the Poor, they're already there. More than 60 people in Honduras, think about this, more than 60% of the people are living in poverty. So when they get hit, it's unbelievable. So actually, I think we have a clip of Linda from Honduras. She talks about how those of us who are giving the food for the poor are helping. Let's play that clip.
We could never, ever do it without Food for the Poor and their donors. And we pray for you every day. And I know that person up in the mountain that got that 5 pounds of rice or 5 pounds of beans, they'll be praying. They'll be praying and blessing you for the rest of their lives.
It's very hard for us in America who are so blessed to imagine what it would be like not to have food. I just want to say again, my parents experienced hunger when they were young, and I have heard about it my whole life, and it's really affected me and affected how I eat, how I think about food, how I think about money. When you know people who've really suffered through this, the idea that this is happening now, it's a horrible idea, but the good news is we can do something about it. So I want to exhort you, my friends, to go to our website. It's metaxastalk.com, metaxastalk.com. You should be going there every day anyway. Metaxastalk.com, you'll see the banner. They're asking us, anybody who gives $111, that feeds 3 starving kids for 6 months for $111. It's $37 a day. Anybody who gives $185, that's 5 kids. You can do the math. If it's 37 kids a day for $370, obviously that's 10 kids being fed for 6 months. It's extraordinary how food for the poor stretches the money, right? This is what I want to say, is that we all know we have to give back. We all know we're commanded by God to be a blessing to those who are less fortunate than us. The question is always how, where do I give? What's happening with the money? So we partner with Food for the Poor because they're a great organization. We know what they do with the money. We know that they're tremendously effective. They've also been helping people suffering in Texas right now. So we want to encourage you to go to our website, metaxastalk.com. That's our radio website, metaxastalk.com. You click on the banner and everything is there. If you'd prefer to call, we can arrange that. I'm going to give you a phone number right now. Don't be startled. It's a series of numbers. Ready? Are you ready? You're not ready? Okay, I'll wait. Okay, now, ready? Here's the phone number, 844-863-HOPE, 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 844-863-HOPE. Okay, it's just important, folks, that we give back. Now, I want to say today, you might not know this, but today is $1,000 Thursday. Have you heard of it? Neither have I, but now we've all heard of it. $1,000 Thursday, which means that Food for the Poor is hoping that a number of people listening right now will say, I can give $1,000. That feeds like 25 kids for 6 months. Think about this, folks. Think about how God has blessed you. What are you doing with your money? I don't see how there's any downside to something like this. It's just pure upside. It's a wonderful thing. Food for the Poor is somebody that they're an organization that they're reputable. We've been dealing with them for years. Salem Radio, all of our radio hosts have been dealing with them. And we're thrilled we get to partner with them, and we're thrilled you get to partner with them. So please go to metaxastalk.com. I want to say, I don't think I said this yesterday, Albin. We always throw this out there. There are some people that, you know, they say, you know, we've got this big birthday coming up or this anniversary or something. We've got a friend or whatever. And they're people of means. And I say that I will put myself out there. If you give $10,000 to Food for the Poor, I will be very thrilled to spend the evening with you, have dinner with you, hang out. You know, at a mutually convenient place or time or whatever. You could, it's the whole thing's on you. You can arrange a restaurant for 20 people and I'll show up and talk and hang out, or it can just be, you know, the three of us, whatever you want. But I'm saying there are people out there who say, I'd like to do that. You're giving a gigantic tax deductible gift to a truly great cause. So obviously the least I can do is find an evening. I have less and less evenings to find, but I will do that because I believe in this cause. So again, you want to call the number 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, or just go to the website, metaxastalk.com, and you'll see the banner there. Now, we're coming up with Curtis Sliwa. He's a New Yorker. Albin, we haven't mentioned MyPillow and My Store. People keep saying, I don't want to use Amazon. Folks, many of my books are available at mystore.com. Mystore.com. You got to use the code Eric. If you go to mypillow.com, it's the same code Eric. But mystore.com, we're putting more and more of my books there. The new one is not available there. Fish Out of Water is not yet there. But many of the other books are there at mystore.com, and we're going to get more stuff there in time. And I guess I want to remind you.
Yeah. If you want to get a hat or a T-shirt, you go to MetaxasTalk.com. There's a banner at the bottom of the page, MetaxasTalk.com. Get a T-shirt, get a hat, get a mug, and support the show that way as well. Thank you.
Isn't that sweet? Okay, when we come back, you're going to be blown away if you don't know Curtis Sliwa. You're going to say, who is this guy? Is this a cartoon character? Yes, he is, but he's also a real human being. We'll be right back. Folks, remember I told you that I have a living cartoon character on the program, but I said, don't let that fool you. He's also a flesh and blood human being. Here he is, folks. This is the man, Curtis Sliwa. Curtis, I just get happy just looking at you. Thanks for being my guest.
Oh, once again, my hands across all America because of Eric.
No, seriously, I'm thrilled. You are running to be mayor of New York City, and I have to say that even if we didn't have the worst mayor in the history of New York City as the mayor, Comrade de Blasio, I would still think you would make a fantastic mayor. But the fact that this mayor that we have right now has taken New York backwards to David Dinkins era New York, which I see with my eyes because I live in this city, I was born in this city, it's unbelievable. So we desperately need somebody who understands New York, who understands basic principles. But it's a big deal to run for mayor. You just made the announcement, what, a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, in fact, on the day of the announcement, February 17th, it rocked the political world because, Eric, they assumed, oh, it's just a publicity stunt. Curtis won't walk away from his hosting job at WABC, a huge radio station, which you have to do because immediately then you're in violation of FCC rules and local election rules in terms of equal time. So I understood all of that. So when I dropped the gauntlet and I said, I'm in it to win it, the whole nine yards, I got to save our city with the help of so many Republicans out there to win the primary and then go on to the general election. All of a sudden, people were like, wow, this is the crime fighter whose issue is number one in the minds of almost all New Yorkers because of how we have descended into the abyss. As you had mentioned, Eric, back to the bad old days of Fear City in the 70s when I first started the Guardian Angels 42 years ago.
Well, people don't realize. I mean, I was born in New York. Even when we moved up to Danbury, Connecticut, you know, we would come here because my relatives were here. My uncle Taki Metaxas worked for Mayor Koch. I got to say that to see what happened to this city, the transformation under Giuliani, in other words, I think I said this on yesterday's program, what one person can do. I'm not kidding. It is mind-blowing that one person's leadership could transform one of the biggest, greatest cities in the world from a hellhole to one of the greatest cities in the world as it should be. In other words, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes in my own lifetime, frankly, I wouldn't believe it's possible. So to see it going backwards with speed under de Blasio, my wife and I, we noticed it from the beginning when he took office, tiny little things that you notice. Now it is in full fan. I really cannot believe how quickly a city can begin to descend, to go backwards. So when you said that you were going to run, I just want to ask you, you know, who else is running on the Republican side? How is this going to break down? Because most people know that that New York is such a Democratic city, or it has been, that it's very tough for somebody who's not the Democratic candidate. And by the way, if you are the Democratic candidate, you could be as bad as Bill de Blasio and still get elected.
No doubt. And Eric, there is close to 20 different Democrats vying for their primary nomination to go into the general election. And it is a complete left-wing, DSA, AOC, all-out crazy blood breath, because they all want to be anointed by AOC as the Democrat Socialist of America candidate who will defund the police, defund prisons, and tell everyone, don't pay your rent. Force the landlords out. This is their policy position. Don't pay your rent. The landlords will have to vacate. The city and the state will have to inherit the property. And I'm saying to the voters, you realize that's what happened in the 70s. All of a sudden, we had the abandoned buildings, property values plummeted, and a million people picked up and left in the 1970s New York City. We've already had 300,000 people vacate, mostly from Manhattan, who will probably not come back. So you have the 20 on the Democratic side, just pushing that left-wing progressive agenda. Then you have four candidates on the Republican side. You have Sarah Tershwell, fine woman, worked in Wall Street, but no street smarts. And then you have Joe Pepitone, who some people mistakenly think of the former New York Yankee first baseman, Joe Pepitone.
Wait a minute. We got a mayor candidate with the name Joe Pepitone? I used to have a Pepitone, Joe Pepitone baseball glove. And you're telling me there's a mayoral candidate who's not the baseball player and his name is Joe Pepitone?
No, but he is his nephew. He's a fine man. He was a former New York City police officer.
All right.
Has a lot of good values. But again, most people don't know who he is or what he's ever done. He's got a way to go. And then there's Fernando Mateo, who has been there for livery cab drivers and bodega owners over the years. So when you look at who is most synonymous with crime fighting, quality of life, of supporting the police, it's Curtis Sliwa, hands down. And that's what you need to go into the general election against a Democrat who is going to try to make the police even more impotent than they are now. Because that, without public safety, without a strong police department, without quality of life, without zero tolerance, the city cannot recover. No one is going to want to invest. Nobody is going to want to visit.
Oh, listen, again, because I live here, I see this with my own eyes. People who aren't here don't understand. I have never in my life seen anything like what has happened to this city in the last year and a half. It is absolutely mind blowing. People are fleeing the city. I'm sure landlords are like really lucky to get rent or whatever it is. I mean, it's a total meltdown. Let me ask you, is John Catsimatidis decided not to run?
John Catsimatidis, who is my boss, owns WABC, had hoped to run. But he flirted with the Democrats, then decided not, then said he was still open-minded to running as a Republican, but hasn't gathered any signatures. We're running out of time. If he were to run, this is his race. He deserves it. He says he's got one more race in him. He ran for mayor once before and lost. But my sense is probably not. In fact, they're now talking about John Catsimatidis for governor because of how badly Cuomo is wounded, if he even survives. And obviously, whatever new Democrat might replace him, his lieutenant governor, she's not ready for prime time. So if you happen to be a Republican in New York City and you can get 35% of the gubernatorial vote, you could become the next governor. That's really where the election will be decided again, unfortunately, in New York City as to whether it's a Democratic governor or Republican governor. So I think he's leaning in that direction.
OK, so right now, so when is the race going to be for mayor?
We have our primaries, both parties, Democrats and Republicans, on June 22nd.
Okay.
So now and June 22nd. Now, it's because I'm the last person standing, the last person into this race, and everyone has a head start. You know, I've got to get the petitions, so which are out in the streets, to qualify, which I don't think will be a problem. I have the support of Staten Island Republicans, which, as you know, that's the strength of the party in New York City. And Brooklyn. So that's really very two very strong Republican counties. And then I got to raise the moolah shmoolah, the money. Because believe it or not, Eric, the socialists here have created a system where if I raise a dollar, if I stood on the corner with a tin can, Curtis for mayor, right? Curtis Sliwa for mayor.com, Curtis Sliwa for mayor.com, please give me a dollar. The city, through the taxpayers, give me $8 more for that dollar.
Wait, so, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's called the match. If I invested in Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, Wall Street, if I shorted stocks, you can't get that kind of return that you can for running for mayor of the city of New York. As long as
you, you can't that, right. get that kind of return on a long shot at Belmont. This is
exactly. But like Belmont, which is half in New York City and half in Long Island, I'm also taking donations from all over the country, even though they're not matched because I'm so far behind, so far behind.
The man, you are so amazing that you were able to turn a Belmont reference into a fundraising segue. That's the guy who's going to be the next mayor of this city. That is unbelievable. Okay, so Katsimatidis, listen, I'm Greek, so I got to say, I wish he would run for governor. That would be the greatest thing ever. Now, when is the governorship up? Is it also this fall?
2022.
Okay, so he's got time.
Yeah,
so in the meantime, he needs to fund Curtis Sliwa for mayor. We all know that he's a stand-up guy, and you can't say anything about this because he's your boss. But since I'm not part of WABC, I know he needs to do this, and I'm telling him, John Katsimatidis, you've got to do this. Listen, like many things, Curtis, this is not, quote unquote, just for the mayorship of New York City. You know, right now, New York is a bellwether city. As New York goes up or down, much of the country is affected. The economy of the entire country is affected. People around the country need to understand that if we don't have a vibrant New York under a really firebrand of a mayor like you, who has tremendous common sense, the whole country suffers. That's just a fact. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Curtis Sliwa, the next mayor of New York City, by the grace of God. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Curtis Sliwa, so I know you're listening. Curtis, listen, you're fun to talk to, and that's a big part of being a successful mayor in New York City. Koch was like that. In other words, Koch was what I consider a common sense Democrat. He was not a nut like a John Lindsay or whatever. And when you have somebody in New York who has common sense, they really bridge the divide. New York is different than the rest of the country in the sense that you could have somebody like a Giuliani, like a Fiorello LaGuardia, like a Koch. They're a real New York figure. And New York needs that kind of leadership really, really desperately. I mean, I remember the mayoralty of Abe Beame. We've had some of the worst mayors, David Dinkins, ever. But you must have a sense of how this city is unique. I mean, there's literally nothing like New York. You can't compare any city in the world to this city.
Well, Eric, what you have to do is, because we're going to have to learn to do more with less. I know all these other guys and gals running for office, they think they own the Federal Reserve printing press. They think that they can raise the debt ceiling and deficit ceiling like Republicans and Democrats do in Washington. And our children and grandchildren are going to have to pay the price. But when you run a city or a state or a county, you have to have a balanced budget. You can't run it the way the federal government does. So even though President Joe Biden is going to deliver a whole trough of money to the city, they're so hopelessly in debt to begin with, $10 billion in debt, even before the lockdown back in March. So my message is going to be, you have to do more with less. You may have good ideas, and I don't care who they are and where they're from. We'll sit in a room. I might disagree with some of the concepts and ideas, but I'll just say, show me how we're going to do it. We're going to do more of this for less money. And a lot of those ideas, as you know, will be vanquished. Because it's all about money. I mean, Yang wants to give money to people, even though we're on the brink of fiscal dissolution. The other candidates are saying, yeah. We should have a mandatory income that everyone qualifies for, including those who are not here legally. And I'm saying, forget where you're going to get the money. So we established that, and we established that we have to put back the $1 billion that was stripped from the NYPD budget. That is absolute mind-boggling. And the one area that has not yet been addressed that I've been researching, so I have a lot of friends in the police, is I believe our anti-terrorism task force in the NYPD has been depleted in terms of the men and women who speak Arabic, who understand how to monitor communications, also the social networking, to make sure that Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or any of our international enemies don't have a third shot at us, like they had in the first World Trade Center blast, the attack of 9/11. And you know they're salivating for a return. And the de Blasio administration won't acknowledge that the anti-terrorism task force has been depleted. That must be always maintained to its highest level of proficiency. And we've got to get the cops out into the streets so that they can become police again. And I've told them all, I'll go to every precinct in the city, because I've been in every precinct in the city, and I'll say, guys and gals, go out, do your job, take back the streets. But if you cross over the line, you'll have no friend in Curtis Sliwa. In fact, I will make sure that you pay a sufficient price for misusing the powers that we have bestowed upon our police department. As long as the men and women of the department understand that, they know what the rules are.
I love it, Curtis. I love it. I you know, I was going to say, because of your background, and I don't know how effectively you can make this case on your own, but I'll make it for you, is that by starting the Guardian Angels, that alone, your experience in that, there is nothing that can touch it, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of being in touch with the city, every part of the city, literally and figuratively. But also, your years on the radio, you've spent years honing your thinking on a raft of issues that most people would just never think about. Most people don't think about, you know, police unions and this is the kind of thing that you've been doing for years and years and years. So I just don't think that anybody could really come close to matching you. The only issue is, can you win? That's the only issue for me. And I think that it gets depressing when we look at the people that the Democrats have put up. I mean, I want to talk. I think de Blasio is fundamentally anti-American. I mean, deeply in his bones. So is AOC, who you call all out crazy. Brilliant. All out crazy. But I want to talk for a second about Cuomo. The great Bob Grant used to call his father Il Supremo. I think his father was Reagan compared to Andrew Cuomo. I'm just astounded at this man. What are your thoughts on what he's going through? You think he's going to survive this right now?
Interesting. I had dinner last night with George Pataki, the former three-term Republican governor.
He's a friend. Good man.
And remember, Eric, nobody even knew who Pataki was. When 2 days before the election against Mario Cuomo, right, the iconic Democratic figure, they were already preparing the fifth position on Mount Rushmore, you know, next to Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. He was already there.
Right.
17 points down in the polls. 2 days before, Mario would have had a fourth term as governor, and he would have went on to run for the presidency. And George Pataki beat him. Nobody knew who George Pataki was. But people had had enough of the pretentious, omnipotent Mario Cuomo, who was scorning average people, completely detached. And Andrew, I mean, like father, like son, except in a more brutal way, because Andrew has an enemies list, and then he checks it twice. And then there's vengeance and blood feuds. It's a scene right out of The Godfather. He's like Michael Corleone. Today we settle all political scores. And now all the chickens are coming back to roost, because he's made so many enemies, not just amongst his adversaries, but even his allies, that as he is struggling to survive, and he will try to survive, and they better not let him survive. They better impeach him, or they better make sure that they force him to resign, because he will come back with a...
Oh, listen, hang on, Curtis. I didn't realize we're going to a break. Folks, we'll be right back with Curtis Sliwa. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Curtis Sliwa, so why am I even talking? Curtis, it's just fun to listen to you talk. Listen, I joke around. You know, I've been friendly with Pataki for years, but compared to you, he's like a big dud when it comes to communication. I find it funny. Like, George Pataki is just almost deliberately, you know, quiet and, you know, like dull in a way, right? But brilliant man, went to Yale. I went to Yale. I have no respect for Yale, in case you're wondering. But I was going to say that you're right. He beat Cuomo. And it is a fascinating thing when people say, I've had enough. I think we're there in this whole country. People have never seen the madness, the out of control madness. And when it gets to a certain point, I think finally, you know, they have had enough. So I really do hope that you get some traction. But you were just saying, I want to follow up on this, that Cuomo, like, deliberately makes enemies, that he's a combative figure. Was he ever married? I mean, he's 63, is he not?
Oh, yes. He was married to Kerry Kennedy. Remember, it was going to become the Cuomo Kennedy dynasty.
Oh, the dynasty, right.
Right. That didn't work out. And then he lived together in Mount Kisco and Westchester, shared a house with Sara Lee, who is the woman, one of the stars of the Food Channel. That didn't work out. But hey, I certainly can't accuse him of that. I've had a few go rounds myself. So the fact is that with Andrew, and I learned this from Pataki because I campaigned for him against the great orator Mario, that a good campaign has three issues, Eric. A better campaign has two issues, and the best campaign has one issue. When you have too many issues out there, it confuses the general electorate. Stick to their primary concerns. For me, in New York City, crime, right? Supporting the police. Unfair property taxes in the outer boroughs and the state of our public school education, $30 billion, a lot of it wasted in a $92 billion budget, and the continued support that we have to give to charter schools and vouchers and tuition tax credits to parochial schools who have remained open every day through this pandemic and have had no problems. Those children will obviously academically do better. The children, many of whom were forced to stay at home, particularly the poorer or the more impoverished, will be redshirted, may never be able to catch up again. And that's what we call in the streets a shanda. That is u disgrazia, that the liberals and progressives thought that this would be good for the children.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we don't really believe they even believed it would be good. They don't care. They look the other way. They're blinded by their own desires. And it's criminal. I want to ask you, you know, we talked about Cuomo. I want to stick on this. This is a guy who really does come across as high-handed. In other words, a lot of times people say that, but he said something at the beginning of COVID. I think the curve had just gone down dramatically or something like that. And he said something, you can't even make this up. He says, God didn't do that. We did that, right? And
I thought, remember.
Even if you think you did it, and you're a politician that doesn't even believe in God, you wouldn't say something that stupid because it's tremendously offensive. God didn't do it. We did it, right? Strike me now, you know? But even if you did it, you would have the humility to say that all good things come from God. So I'm not going to be like competing with we did it and he did it. But I thought to myself, when he said that, sometimes somebody says something and you think, whoa, that guy is way out of touch. What world does he live in? He's obviously not hanging out in Staten Island if he thinks that you can say something like that and people are going to be like, yeah, you know, I mean, he really seems wildly out of touch. Right now, what happened with the nursing homes? I mean, people are talking about the Me Too stuff. I think that pales in comparison to what he did with the nursing home business. Is it your understanding, because I try to make sense of this, that he did not send people to the hospital ships because politically he didn't want to help Trump? Is that what happened?
Well, I don't think it had anything to do with Trump. It did have to do with is he is so full of himself. And all the governors, remember, they were given the powers of executive orders as mayors were during the pandemic. Remember, the original fear was that Trump would misuse the executive powers and become a totalitarian dictator.
Right.
He used the executive powers during the pandemic, but governors and mayors every day posting out absolutely incredibly hurtful crackdowns on people, driving them out of business. When it came to the nursing homes, he did sign an executive order that said if somebody had coronavirus and they were in a hospital and they were to be returned to a long-term senior citizen care unit, it was okay, even though it defied logic. And instead of apologizing for that, which was a humongous mistake, he just backed it up more, the science. And then finally, Eric, he said this as an addendum to the fact that God didn't do it, we did it. He said, don't you understand, Eric? People are going to die. People are going to die, whether they died in the hospital or died in a senior citizen long-term care unit. People are going to die. That was probably the most insensitive of all things that he said, not understanding. Because remember, he's impervious to human sentimentality at that level. Remember, he had the Emmy. He had the book on leadership. He was the god of all of Hollywood. He could do no wrong. Women were throwing themselves at him. Please date me, date me. He was on top of the world. And now look at him. He's going to go straight to hell without an asbestos suit.
I mean, seriously, it's looking very bad for him now. The Democrats are attacking him. And, you know, one of the most delicious things in life, what's the term? Schadenfreude. When you see de Blasio attacking Cuomo, AOC attacking Cuomo, you know, this is like the thrill in Manila. Like, you just can't, you just want to see the fight because you can't lose if you're in attendance. I mean, why do you think de Blasio hates Cuomo so much?
Because Cuomo has bullied him. Although they used to be the best of friends. I call them the two Italian stallions. You know, when Cuomo became a secretary of HUD, his executive director in the New York area was de Blasio. They got along great. But then de Blasio, like all mayors, challenged the governors in Albany. Lindsay did it with Rockefeller. Rudy did it with Pataki. And obviously, de Blasio did it with Cuomo. They get smacked down. And then it's hate. Unfortunately for de Blasio, you know, he's such a wuss. You know, he's such a schlub, such a putz, a schmuck.
All right, listen, we got way more words. And so we're going to keep you over into hour two. Folks, don't go away. We got more with Curtis Lee. And then we got Bob Woodson. Do not miss Bob Woodson. We'll be right back.
Let me tell you, I got some news for you. And you soon find out it's true.
Folks, have you done it yet? Have you done it yet? What am I talking about? Alvin, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Food for the poor.
Food for the poor. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, folks, you're obligated to go to MetaxasTalk.com. Hey, hey, I don't make the rules. That's just the rule. If you can hear my voice right now, yes, you have to go to MetaxasTalk.com. But listen, this is a great opportunity. I joke around. It is such an amazing opportunity. We partner with Food for the Poor because they're reputable and because every single person wants to give back, knows we have an obligation to give back, to do something. But you always wonder how, what do I give to? Do I give to the Red Cross? Do I give to this? Are they reputable? Are they doing what? Well, let me tell you. That's why we work with Food for the Poor, because they are tremendously reputable. They have an ability, just for an example, $37. This is insane. $37. If you give them $37, they can feed a kid for 6 months. This is in Honduras, which has been devastated by back-to-back horrible tropical storms. They have the ability, they get donations of rice, of beans, whatever, and they use the money that we give to get this food to kids that literally are starving. I mean, we work with them because we know they're reputable, because they have the ability to stretch our dollars. And I have to say, $37 is, you know, that's madness, folks. Do you understand like what that means to a kid 6 months? You know, if you can get your kids involved, by the way, I always say, it's really a wonderful thing to teach kids that we give back. And how do we give back? Well, we know there are people far less fortunate than we are, wherever we are in life. And we have an obligation to do something. The only question is what? That's why we work with Food for the Poor, because they're the what? They're the folks that we can totally trust when we give. And we want to give something, but we don't know where to give. Well, that's it. So you go to MetaxasTalk.com. MetaxasTalk.com, you'll see the banner. I've got a phone number too. But Albin, right now, if people give, they're also helping people in Texas.
That's right.
Yeah. Do we have a clip on that?
Yeah.
Let's play that clip.
It's not us over here and them over there, but it's all of us collectively. For a moment, we get to live life together. And the cool thing is, I saw Food for the Poor and what they did, where our money goes. And it was a beautiful thing that impacted my life in such a great way that I can't wait to go back, because I believe in what Food for the Poor does. I've seen it with my own eyes, and it really is a part of my heart and a part of my life now.
A lot of people in the Salem universe, the Salem faculty, as Sebastian Gorka calls it, have worked with Food for the Poor, have gone on trips to see what they do. So this is personal for us. This is not just some organization. We've worked with them for years. Phil Boyce, has done a number of trips with them. So I'm going to give you the phone number, but I want to say, Alvin, anybody who gives anything, we don't care how much you give, anything that you give, they're asking $37 as a minimum, but you give whatever you want to give. Obviously we're hoping there are a lot of people that can do a lot more than that, but whatever you give, we will put your name in a hat, and we're picking a number of grand prize winners who will get signed copies of my new book, Fish Out of Water, signed copies of Albin's books, signed copies of my other children's books, my Donald the Caveman books, like tons of stuff, t-shirts, right, hats, whatever. There are a number of these we're giving out. It's not just one. So there are a number of grand prizes. If you give anything, your name goes in a hat, and we're going to be announcing these winners. But the phone number is 844-863-HOPE. That's 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE.
Yeah. And Eric, I just say, I just love the fact that you're not only helping poor people and people who are starving in Honduras because of tropical storms there, but also people right here in this country, in Texas in particular. So this is a great time to really give to Absolutely. Food for the poor.
And if anybody wants to give $10,000 to Food for the Poor, I would be privileged to join you, spend an evening together. My time's valuable, but I want to give back. And so anybody who's prepared to give that kind of a gift will work that out. Folks, 844-863-HOPE. Check it out.